Good morning. Today's daf in Yevamos Nun Vav. We're on Nun Hamad Beis. We're a little more than halfway down the Amud. We're starting this morning with the words Amar Shmuel, and we're going to go over the definition of Hara. That's going to be our first discussion for today. So first of all, Hara. So that is partial penetration. We are in the sixth parak of Yevamos, and as we are now in day number three of the sixth parak, so very graphic definitions regarding what is the Maisabia, what's the act of intimacy between a man and a woman. And we're saying it both in terms of a mitzvah, in terms of an isser. In terms of the mitzvah, so we're talking about the mitzvah of Yibum. The mitzvah of Yibum is effected through the act of Bia. So exactly at what point in the act of Bia is it effected? So the answer is Hara. That's at the point of partial penetration. In terms of Yisurim as well, a man is prohibited to a number of women listed in Achrimos and Kedoshim. And in terms of Parshios, as I already pointed out yesterday, we're right in the middle of Achrimos and Kedoshim. So timing-wise, it could not have asked for better timing. At what point in time is one violating the Isser of the Arayos, Min HaTorah? So that's going to be at the point of Hara, that's a partial penetration. There are three occasions where the Torah, when describing relations, says that it has to be a full Bia. So one is Shifcha Charufa, a second is going to be a Shasish, and the third time is going to be by a Sota. And we ended off yesterday's daf by pointing out why does the Torah mention that it has to be a kind of bia, which is a full bia, by these three occasions, and the Gemara gave answers. So Shifcha Charufa, so I'm just going to spend a minute this morning, maybe two, going over Shifcha Charufa. It happens to be this week's Parsha. So it's, again, timing-wise, it could not have asked for better timing, but it is a little bit vague. It's opaque exactly what Shifcha Charufa is, but the Torah says that a man is not allowed to be with a Shifcha Charufa. This week's Parsha, so Kedoshim, Perek Yutes, Pasuk Chaf, Vish Ki Yishka V'Sisha Shifcha Zera V'Hi Shifcha Necharefes Le'ish V'Avdei Lo Niftasa O Chupasa Lo Nitan La Because Tiyeh Lo Yimusu Ki Lo Chupasa. Okay, so it's quasi-adultery. You're not going to hear this terminology in any other arena of halacha, meaning in any other arena halacha, so you either commit adultery or you don't commit adultery. So what is this like middle position of it's quasi-adultery? Because what you did is you had relations with a woman who was quasi-married. Okay, now, what does that mean exactly? So here's where I'm going to not give all the details, but I'm going to encourage. Look at this week's Parsha, look at Rashi in this week's Parsha, exactly what the status of this woman is right now. So it is up for a debate. But the Torah describes her as being that she was designated. She was designated to be with a man, but she wasn't with a man. Okay, exactly who this woman was. Again, I'm going to encourage you, look at this week's Parsha, look at Rashi to see who it is. And then, the reason why it came up in yesterday's daf is because I just read it, V'ish ki yishka v'sisha shichvat zera. So in other words, he had the kind of bia that results in a seminal discharge, which is a bia gemur, that's a full bia. So why? Meaning, we know already that when it comes to bia, the definition of bia is ha'ara, which is just basic, which is partial penetration. And the beginning of today's daf, we're going to give even further definition of what that means, partial penetration. So why does the Torah say shichvat zera? Good. So go back to yesterday's daf, and we answered that question. But just as long as we're here, so I didn't even give really any kind of full clarity. But look at this week's parsha for the description of something which we could qualify as a quasi adultery. And by the way, in such a circumstance, Vehavius Hashem al Hashem is El Pesach al Moed El Hashem. And one of the more unique halachas in the Torah in this quasi-adultery, so you have to bring a carbon asham. Okay. There are five ashamos in the Torah in total. This is one of the five ashamos. Okay, so tucked away at the beginning of this week's parsha. Anyway, let's go. We are Amar Shmuel. We are more than halfway down in Nun Hei Amud Beis. And our first discussion this morning is to give a further definition to what it means, partial penetration. So as we've been learning in yesterday's daf, the day before, the Gemara spent a lot of time going over how when one violates any one of these Isurei Bia, or for that matter, performing the mitzvah of Yibum, meaning it works in both directions, both Latov and Lara. So Hara is in fact considered Bia. What is Ha'ara? Good, partial penetration. What does that mean? So Amr Shmuel Ha'ara Zunashika. So according to Shmuel, now Shmuel over here is our resident doctor, meaning he was in the time of the Gemara, not only a Talmid Chacham in the Baal HaMesorah, but on top of that, also, he had a lot of knowledge regarding the sciences. He knew medicine. He knew astronomy, right? He existed in both worlds. So over here, so in his definition of Ha'ara, so it's Nishika. So basically, it's at the point of contact, meaning when the two genitalia make contact with one another, even though there was no penetration, nevertheless, he considers that to be considered partial penetration. Now, how could that be? So he explains. So it's like putting your finger on your mouth. So even at the point of contact, there's going to be some penetration. Same thing over here as it relates to the man and the woman. So once they make contact with one another, so at the point of contact, there's by definition going to be just the smallest amount of penetration. That's Ha'ara. So according to Shmuel, Ha'ara is defined by Nishika, just simple contact. So at the point of contact. So ki asa rava babrachanam rav yochanan gemar bia b'shivcha charufa zuach nasa sotara. So the Gemara quotes a statement by Rav Yochanan. Now we're going to be hearing a lot of Amoraim quoting Rav Yochanan, three or four in total. So this is going to be the first of a series of comments quoted b'shem Rav Yochanan, and that is by Shivcha Charufa. Now we just covered that Shivcha Charufa the Torah describes as being a more pronounced penetration. So the Torah says it's achnasa satara. Now that is when the aver goes in all the way up to the atara. The atara is a corona. Okay, I say that anatomically. Okay, when performing a bris milah on a newborn, or for that matter, on anyone who needs a bris milah, so what you have to do is that you have to excise the membrane that covers the atara, right? That's the mitzvah. When we discuss the Gemara and Shabbos in the 19th perek, so discussing the mitzvah of milah, so there has to be enough of the arla that's cut off, so there is a revelation of the atara. So it's a corona. So in terms of Shmuel's definition of bia for shivcha charufa, it is hachnasa satara. So that has to be more penetration. So meisav Rav Sheshe shechvazeri no chayv ala bias ameruk. So now Rav Sheshe quotes a brisa. And the brisa over here says that when it comes to shechvazera, and as Rashi points out, this brisa is referring to the shivcha charufa, because again, in the pasuk itself, it actually uses the word shechvazera. So what does that mean? Bias ameruk. Now bias ameruk seems to be a description of full penetration, meaning the normal act of intimacy, where full penetration, which of course leads to a seminal discharge. So at that point in time, it would certainly sound like, not like Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan said that what is shechva zera when it comes to shechva charufa, echnasa satara. From the Braisa, it sounds like it has to be more than that. So my love, meruk gid, lo meruk atara. So the Gemara says, okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to reinterpret the Braisa. The Braisa does not mean that the full gid has to go in, it just simply means up to the point of atara, which is more than normal, meaning, not, I don't mean normal, meaning, but more than what is the base minimum. The base minimum is nishika, and now we're saying, fine, so that's the base minimum for the definition of bia, but when it comes to shivcha charufa, for reasons which I cannot articulate why, it has to be more. It has to be, now how much more? So even though the brisa sounds like it has to be a full penetration, but now we're just qualifying full penetration just simply means the atara. Ki asa Rav Dimi Amar Rav Yochanan. Now this is going to be our second citation of Rav Yochanan. So we already quoted Rabbi Barbar Chana quoting Rav Yochanan. Now we have Rav Dimi quoting Rav Yochanan. Hara zu achnasa satara. So here now, in this version of Rav Yochanan, we're giving definition to Hara. Again, let's reset. So Hara is partial penetration. So for the mitzvah of Yibam, for the Yisurim of Arayas, partial penetration is considered Bia. What is definition of partial penetration? Rav Yochanan now is being quoted as saying it is Ha'ara. It is Hachnasa Satara. So that means to say that the Gid has to go up to the point of the Atara. So Amrulay, now clearly this goes against what we said previously. Meaning certainly Shmuel's not going to agree with this. And even the original citation Rav Yochanan is not going to agree with this. And the Gemara makes exactly that point. Amar Leva Rabba Barbar Chana lo Amar Hachi. That's not what Rabba Barbar Chana said as he was citing Rav Yochanan. So Amar Lahu. So Rav Dimi gives an answer, and he says, "Oh, you shakre or ana shakre? Okay, one of us got it wrong. I got it wrong, or he got it wrong. Meaning you're right. The two views of Rav Yochanan are incompatible, and one of us got it wrong. Okay, generally." The atara is the corona.
Oh, okay.
So, in other words, when we say achdasa satara, it means up to the point of the corona, meaning before that point in time, it's not bia yet, and at the point of the entrance of the Corona, so that's considered Bia. So now the Gemara simply says, okay, the two viewpoints are simply incompatible. Okay. So the generally speaking, when you have a machlokas, so we like to employ the idea of elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim, that there are two viewpoints, and maybe they're both right, and they're just simply looking at the same thing from different perspectives and different angles, and so forth and so on. Here's one of those instances in the Gemara where clearly you're not saying that, meaning we're giving definition to what is the point of entrance, of penetration, for the act of bia to be defined as bia, and there are two viewpoints, and over here, it's not elu ve'elu, it's one of them is quote-unquote correct, and now it's just a question of what did Rav Yochanan say? Meaning, and to have two different views of Rav Yochanan, okay, one of them have to be wrong. Okay, I could submit to you, but I'm only saying this as speculation, and I don't know. It could be that Rav Yochanan himself vacillated on this very issue, and in Shir, sometimes he said one way, sometimes he said another way. And so over here, that could result, again, I don't know this, but I'm speculating, it could result in the in the disparate viewpoints of Rav Yochanan. Either way, Kiyasa Rav and Amar Rav Yochanan, we're not done yet. Ravin now is quoting Rav Yochanan. This happens all the time, where you have Rav Dimi and Ravin. They are the frequent flyers who shuttle back between the yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael and in Bavel, and often the time where they're going to be citing what Rav Yochanan said. Here's what Rav Yochanan said. And a number of times throughout Shas, so Rav Dimi is going to come in. This is what Rav Yochanan said. Ravin comes in from Eretz Yisrael, and he says, no, this is what Rav Yochanan says. Here it happens to be one of the occasions in which they both agree in terms of what Rav Yochanan said. So here Ravin comes in from Eretz Yisrael, Ha'ara Zu Achnasas HaTara. So, and he says that what is Ha'ara? What's this partial penetration? In which, again, for the Yisurim, you're going to violate the Yisur of Arias. For the mitzvah of Yibam, you're going to fulfill the mitzvah of Yibam. So what is it? It's Achnasas HaTara. So it's not just Nashika, it's not just contact, but there has to be a partial penetration up to the corona. So Ada Rabba Barbachana Vade Palig. So now, he certainly argues with Rabba Barbachana, meaning Rabba Barbachana had a different viewpoint of Rav Yochanan, and there's no way to make it compatible. They disagree. Okay. But Ada Shmuel Milema Palig. So the Gemara says, but is he arguing with Shmuel? And the Gemara would like to suggest maybe not. Maybe we can create agreement between Shmuel and Rav Yochanan. Now that's going to be a neat trick because Rav Yochanan says, according to this viewpoint, both Ravin and Rav Dimi, that it's Achnasas HaTara. Shmuel said Nishika. So it's kind of hard to create agreement between them, but not impossible. So the Gemara says, low. Minishika bad Achnasas HaTara Ara, Karila. So the Gemara says that maybe for Shmuel, Shmuel's giving us a range for what is considered Ha'ara. Ha'ara begins at Nishika and goes up to Achnasas HaTara. Okay, it's a little bit difficult, admittedly, but you could suggest such an approach. And if that's true, that's a big if, but if that's true, so then there is, in fact, compatibility between the position of Shmuel and the position of Rav Yochanan. Okay. Kiyas Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda Amar Rav Yochanan. Okay, this is it. Round number, I guess we can call it round number four in terms of citations of Rav Yochanan. We can. Meaning it was Rabba Bar Bachana, then it was Rav Dimi, then it's Ravin. And now it's Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, okay? And he says, "I'm Rav Yochanan Harazu Achnasas HaTara." That when it comes to what is the definition of Ha'ara, so that's Achnasas HaTara. Fine. And Gemar Bia Mamish. And whenever you see the terms Gemar Bia, which again, when by Gemar Bia, let's say for example Shivcha Charufa, where there it has to be Gemar Bia. So for that, it is going to be Bia Mamish. Gemar Bia Mamish. Mikan ve'elach eino ela nishika upater ala upalag ad Shmuel. Now mikan ve'elach, it's a little bit confusing over here, but what we mean mikan ve'elach is anything less than that. Meaning any penetration that's less than hachnasa satara, so you're going to be pater. Now pater over here clearly means that you're not going to be violating the Torah and receive the punishment subject to, but depends whatever we're talking about. Meaning let's say for example, a son to his mother-in-law. So anything less than that, so, in other words, you're not going to be subject to the death penalty. All right, brother and sister, anything less than that, you're not going to be subject to kares. V'chule v'chule. Meaning all this week's parsha. Again, in terms of sedra, it works out perfectly. So, and ostensibly, the same thing would be true regarding Yibum. Meaning that if you say achnasa satara, so that means that any penetration less than achnasa satara is not going to be kona regarding Yibum as well. Yeah, correct. In other words, we're giving definition over here that would affect both the Yisurim and the mitzvah as well. Absolutely correct. And this is clearly incompatible with the Shita of Shmuel. Because Shmuel says that already at the point of Nishika, that's already considered Ha'ara. So this viewpoint is certainly against the position of Shmuel. No compatibility can be given regarding this opinion and the first opinion of Shmuel. Okay, so when all said and done, it's a machlokas. Meaning in terms of Ha'ara, so let's just quickly summarize not only what we started off this morning, but really the last couple of days. Meaning that we have spent a good amount of time in the beginning of the sixth parak going over this idea of Ha'ara. Ha'ara is the definition of Bia. Meaning the Torah says that you're not allowed to have Bia with a number of women. The Torah says that you're supposed to have Bia both with your wife and with the Yavama. And so, right, sometimes prohibited, sometimes a mitzvah. Good. So a balanced view regarding Bia. And in that, so we have also expounded over the course of the last couple of days that when the Torah gives us, when the Torah describes Bia, so Bia already is at the point of partial penetration. That is the definition of Bia. Then on top, and then on that, what we've just been covering now for the first part of today's daf, last 15 minutes, is what is the precise definition of Ha'ara? And for that, it's a machlokas in terms of whether it is Nishika or whether it is Hachnasa Satara. Shmuel Zalf is clearly of the position that's Nishika. Rav Yochanan seems to be more of the opinion that it's Hachnasa Satara. There are other ways to formulate Rav Yochanan, but the simple way to formulate Rav Yochanan is that Hachnasa Satara is the point of Ha'ara. Anything before that is not considered Bia. Clearly it would be prohibited to have any kind of contact with a woman you're prohibited with, and not just in this realm, meaning even just contact, just any kind of contact, meaning any kind of physical contact is going to be prohibited. But as I already introduced the other day, machlokas between the Rishonim, whether that's an Issa D'Oraisa or it's an Issa D'Rabbanan. We are just looking over here at the actual act of Bia and at what point precisely is it going to be subject to the Onshim or the Mitzvah of the Torah. Okay, we continue.
So how do we really hold it?
Yeah, of the two positions, it's a great question. So the Rambam goes like Rav Yochanan, meaning it's Achnasa Satara. Echad ma'ara ve'echad gomer kana. Okay, so ma'ara and gomer kana. Okay, so in the Mishnah said. Now the Mishnah is focusing on the mitzvah. Okay, good. So we get to focus now on the mitzvah of yibum. So for the mitzvah of yibum, what did the Mishnah say? The Mishnah says that if you have any kind of bia that either it's not a full penetration, it's a partial penetration. Alternatively, in the Mishnah, let's say you don't have kavanah to do the mitzvah, it doesn't matter. Shogeg, mezid, ones, ratzon, it doesn't matter. So the mitzvah of Yibum has been performed. Okay, now, we are learning together that as far as the mitzvah of Yibum is concerned, if you have a bia grua, right, an inferior bia, it works. That's what we learned together in the Mishnah. Now, the Mishnah uses the words kona, which means that you acquired her. Okay, sounds like from the Mishnah, the simplest reading of the Mishnah is you and her now are husband and wife, even though the bia was a bia grua, even though it was an inferior bia. Okay, and so a discussion now we're going to be having for our second part of today's daf is going to be this idea that you now are husband and wife, even though you had no das, you had no intention whatsoever. Does that mean that you're fully married? That's a simple reading of the Mishnah. We discuss and debate. My kona. So the Gemara's question is, when we say kona, what does that mean, your kona? Now, again, if you would have asked me at this point in time, I would have said, kona means you acquired her. You're a husband and wife. Okay, so my kona. So Rav Amar kona lakol, so Rav says exactly like that. Rav's of the position that's a full kinyan. The bia was a bia grua, it was an inferior bia. Okay, but when it comes to yibum, as we expounded over the last number of days, bia grua still works even in the arena of yibum. Shmuel Amar Lokana Ela Ledvar Mamor Beparsha Leirish Benichse Achiv Lo Pocher Mina Yibum. Shita Shmuel is no. Shita Shmuel is that the inferior bia in the context of Yibum only works, but only works for Yibum items. What are Yibum items? So, for example, number one, so he's going to inherit his brother's assets. That's a function of Yibum. So this bia grua will work for that. This bia grua will also work for lapotra min yibum, to exempt her from yibum, meaning yibum now has been performed to her. So let's say now he wants a divorce, he needs to give her a get. No, he doesn't have to give her chalitza. Everything I'm saying right now is coming from Rashi. I'm just simply saying it outside, not inside. Okay, But in other arenas of marriage, according to Shmuel, so this bia grua, this inferior bia, is not going to make them husbands and wife. What are other arenas of marriage? So let's say, for example, let's say he's a Kohen. Is she allowed to eat truma? So we know the halach is that a woman can eat truma when she's married to a Kohen. But marriage to a Kohen and allowing her to eat truma is only at the point of he has to first be ma'areser, and he has to be koneser, the both stages of marriage. Then and only then is she allowed to eat truma. So according to Shmuel, if what the Yavam had with the Yavama is this inferior bia, she can't eat truma as of yet. Okay. Other areas in halacha where they're not fully married according to Shmuel. I'll just give you another example. We know that a woman dies, her husband, a married woman dies, her husband inherits all of her estate. Okay? He's Yoresh her. So according to Shmuel, he's not Yoresh her. In other words, according to Shmuel, not at this point in time, not with a Bia Grua. I'll give you but one more example. Again, everything I'm saying is coming now from Rashi, although this actually is coming from Tosfos, but still the same point. Let's say he's a Kohen. We know that a Kohen is Metami for his wife. His wife dies, Rachmanis, so then a Kohen's Metami for her. So over here, if let's say it's a Yavam Yavama, and all they had was a Bia Grua, so then she dies, he's not Metami for her. According to Shmuel, the Bia Grua is only going to connect them husband and wife, but only in the arena of Yibum and no other marriage arenas. Okay, now, this is a complex matter. Meaning, so what we're saying together is that for a Bia Grua, so we have a Machlokas Amoraim, whether or not the Yavam is fully Kona his wife or not. According to Rav, yes, fully Kona. According to Shmuel, no. Limited Kinyan in this regard. Okay, now when we say Bia Grua, what are we talking about? So when we say Bia Grua, we mean inferior Bia. But in the Mishnah, we had numerous cases of inferior Bia. A lack of Kavana, right? No Kavana. Coercion. Ha'ara, partial penetration. So which aspects of Bia Grua are we focusing on right now? So Tosus is of the opinion that we're only talking about an absence of Kavana. Meaning Tosus is clearly of the position that we're not talking about Ha'ara. Meaning if it's partial penetration, we've been spending the last couple of days saying that's Bia. Partial penetration is in fact Bia. We darshened it from Psukim. Tosfos cannot entertain the idea that our discussion that we're having right now is about Ha'ara. It's only about Bia but absent Kavana. That's Tosfos over here. You can see it all in the first Tosfos. I'm not going to go through it inside. So even at the end, he notes. The Yerushalmi doesn't agree with this point, but Tosfos is clearly of the position that our discussion over here is only talking about Bia Grua in the context of you don't have Kavana. Okay, fine. So where do we stand right now? So let's say a Yavam has Bia Grua with his Yavama. Did he acquire fully? Rav says yes. Shmuel says no. Limited. So now in this, the Gemara is going to qualify. Now, let's say she was previously married to her former husband who was a Kohen. Of course he was a Kohen. They're brothers, right? So in other words, if the Yavam is a Kohen, by definition, his brother's going to be a Kohen as well. So previously, in her previous marriage, so she was fully married, meaning Erusin and Nisuin, and then Rachmanis, her husband, died, and now the Yavam performed Yibum, and he did so with a Bia Grua. So here the Gemara says, there's no debate. She can eat Truma. So Ki Pligi Mina Erusin. The only debate over here is where she's coming off of Erusin. We already learned together. Yibum is going to be even off of Erusin. So even though her and her former husband only went Erusin, that's marriage, and Rachmanis, if he dies, so there's a mitzvah of Yibum. The Gemara now is saying that this case where she came off of Erusin, the Yavam only had to be a grua with her. That, now we have a machlokes between Rav and Shmuel, and the Gemara now explains. Rav Amar Ochalos Daha Rabbi Rachmana Bia Shogi Kemezid. So Rav says, look, she's going to be able to eat truma with the Bia Grua of the Yavam. Why? Because, as we learned, but when it comes to Yibum, you don't need Kavana. Since you don't need Kavana, so therefore, even though it is a thoughtless Bia, it's a Bia absent Kavana, nevertheless, it's considered a Bia. And therefore, they're married. Ushmuel Amar Ki Rabbi Rachman Lukman Bamakam Ba'ala Alume Ba'ala. Shmuel will tell you, no, that what the Yavam does with his mindless Bia is that basically he fills in for the he fills into the husband, but he can't exceed the husband, the former husband. Meaning, and the former husband only had Erison with her. At the point of Erison, she can't eat truma. So over here now, you're telling me that the Yavam, with his thoughtless bia now, is going to be any greater than the former husband? No. He can only be equivalent to the previous husband, but he can't exceed that of the previous husband. Good. And mind you, by the way, I'm saying all this, I understand now that this is a complicated sugya. So now what we're doing is we have a machlokus regarding bia grua, and within the machlokus, we are qualifying that it's only talking about a case where she came off of Erison, not of Nisuin. The Azda Shmuel Atame. Now, this is Shmuel being consistent. The Amr of Nachman Amr Shmuel Kosha Baal Machel, Yava Machel, V'choshen Baal Machel, Yava Meno Machel. We're saying the same thing for Shmuel, we're just packaging it differently. But it's the same exact point, which is the Yavam's ability to have his wife eat truma cannot exceed that of the original husband. If the original husband was not able to feed his wife truma, i.e., they only went through Erison, not through Nisuin, same thing is true regarding the Yavam. Okay, makes sense. So, what do we have right now? A machlokus between Rav and Shmuel. The Gemara now is going to quote a brisa. This brisa is going to be difficult for Shmuel. Let's see the brisa together. So, you had a erison between a woman and her husband, now a kohen. Okay, good. So she is Ashes Kohen, but again, stage one erison. And at that point in time, he was pikeach, meaning he was of a good state of mind, and so was she. And Rachmanus. And then he suffered insanity. He suffered mental illness between Eris and Nisuin. So, Eno Ochelas. So now, she at that point in time, she can't eat Truma because Nisuin was done with somebody who does not have Das. Meis V'nafla Lifnei Yavam, Cheresh, Ochelas. Now, let's say the husband dies and the Yavam also was a Cheresh. Okay, and I say this with seriousness. In other words, clearly it's running in the family. In other words, the mental insanity is running in the family. And the Yavam is now a Cheresh. And she elects to do Yibam with him, which, again, I know that's strange. But we're just making one singular point. So granted over here that the decisions may not be the best decisions, but the Brisa here is interested in making one singular point. So, and that is that when the Yavam marries her, meaning does bia with her, she's now allowed to eat truma. So what did we just see together? The Yavam was able to do something that the original husband couldn't do. And the Brisa acknowledges exactly this point. The Yavam is able to do something that the original husband couldn't do. The original husband, because he was a Cheresh after Erisim, but before Nisuin, so the original husband couldn't feed her Truma, but the Yavam can. Okay, fine. So now, you see, clearly, this Brisa is not in line with Shmuel. And the Gemara makes exactly that point. Bishlam l'Rav Nicha l'Shmuel Kasha. Yeah, that's difficult. It's difficult for Shmuel, this Brisa. So I'm l'Chor Shmuel Emahachi. Okay, so Shmuel will tell you the following. All right, at face value, the Brisa is really against me. Okay, so here's what we'll do. Let's not read the brisa at face value. Let us edit the brisa a little bit. Okay, we're going to tweak the brisa a little bit.
Shmuel could do that.
Okay, the only thing I can respond is yes, because we're watching him do it right now. So yes, he did it. So, and here's how it goes. Emahachi. V'lo hispik lakon sachin ischareish. Eino chalos b'truma. Okay, so point number one of the brisa is that he was ma'ariser. He was of a good state of mind. And so therefore now they're married. At first stage of marriage, Erison. Then Rachmanus, he lost his mind. And then they have relations with one another. Okay. So despite that, she can't eat truma. Now, Kanas, the acharkach nischarish ochelas. Let's say they go into the second stage of marriage while he was in a good state of mind. And then afterwards he loses his mind. So because she already started eating truma, she can continue eating truma. Now, mace v'nafla lifnei yavam cheresh ochelas. Now, if the husband dies and the brother does the mitzvah of yibum, she can continue eating truma. That's the case in which she can continue eating truma because we're mamshich. We just simply continue what she did previously. Previously, she was eating truma. Now, with the yavam, she can continue. Now, admittedly, the brisa didn't say that. And admittedly, it's a tweak in the brisa, But here comes a real sticking point, meaning go to the end of the Braisa, because the end of the Braisa concluded with the words, Uvezu yafe kolach yavam mikolach habal. Yavam is stronger than the husband. The way we're rereading the Braisa, not stronger, same. That's difficult. And the Gemara acknowledges, Umay vizu, ilu baal cheresh meikara lo achalas v'yavam cheresh meikara achla. It's a minor difference, but it's still a difference in that. Try this with the original husband, meaning as a cheresh. If he tried to marry her as a cheresh, can she eat truma? No. The yavam, who is a cheresh, nevertheless, she can eat truma. In that regard, the yavam exceeds that of the original husband. Okay. Now, in context now, as Shmuel has reinterpreted the Braisa, you understand it's a minor difference. Because the only case in which the yavam can feed her truma is which she already was eating truma from her former husband. So we're saying that the yavam exceeds that of the original husband. Just a little bit. It's a slight advantage to the yavam. Because the yavam can only do it in a case where she already was eating truma. Okay, anyway. That is all but round one, number one. Okay, so it's complicated, but I'll try to outline it. So machlokas between Rav and Shmuel in terms of when a yavam has a bia grua, has a inferior bia with that of the yavama. So he's kona for every aspect of marriage. Rav says yes, Shmuel says no, and in round number one, that discussion is limited only where she's coming off of. She's coming off of Erisin. If she's coming off of Nisuin, everyone agrees that the Yavam now, with even with his Bia Grua, can feed her Truma. Again, obviously in talking about in a case where he's a Kohen. But if they're coming off of Erisin, that's the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. Okay, good. That's round number one. Here we go, round number two.
They're both saying that Bia creates a Kenyan. It's just a matter of the extent.
Correct. In other words, full kinyan, absolutely correct. Full kinyan versus limited kinyan. Correct. Now, Ika Damri, now in round number two, so it's going to be a slight variation of the previous discussion. Mina Erisin Divrako Lo Achla Daha Lo Achla B'Chayiba. Now, if she's coming off of Erisin, where she wasn't eating truma with her first husband, with the original husband, so then the Yavam cannot go ahead and feed her truma with a Bia Grua, with an inferior Bia. Because the Yavam's ability cannot exceed that of the first husband. So, ki pligi min nisuin. The debate is where she's coming off of nisuin. Rav amar ochlas daha achla mikara. So Rav's of the position, well, look, let's just perpetuate. She was eating truma with her original husband. The Yavam now steps in, and the Yavam does a bia grua. Okay, but we can perpetuate. And Shmuel amarin ochlas. And Shmuel's of the position that no, even though she came off of nisuin, but because she did not have a 100% valid bia, it was an inferior bia. And again, we're saying it like Tosos. It was a bia absent of Da'as. So therefore, the Yavam cannot feed her Truma. So, Ki Rabbi Rachman, a bia shogi, kemezel advar mamor beparsha, valachomi lilo. And yes, bia grua works, but only in the arena of Yibum. Outside of the arena of Yibum, let's say, for example, eating Truma, it doesn't work. Now the Gemara says, okay, v'hamar Rav Nachman amar Shmuel kol shabal machil yavam machil. So the Gemara says, wait 1 second. Remember that statement of Rav Nachman? That Rav Nachman quoted b'shem Shmuel, anytime the husband can feed her truma, so can the yavam. Now it comes out that in the second version, that's not true. Meaning in the second version, according to Shmuel, even though she was eating truma with her first husband, unless the second husband has bia gemura, not bia gerua, then and only then can she eat truma. But that doesn't go along with what Rav Nachman said. So the Gemara says, okay, so we'll redact. Kol bia sheba machaba yava machaba. V'chol bia sheina ba machaba ein hayava machaba. So the redacted statement of Rav Nachman is that the bia that was done formally that will allow her to eat truma. So that kind of bia, otherwise stated, a bia gemura. A full bia that has kavana, that kind of bia can result in her eating truma. But if it's a bia grua, that cannot allow her to eat truma. Meisvei. Here we go now. In this second version of the discussion, we're going to see the braisa again. Bas, you saw pikechash in esas lekon pikech v'lo ispik lekon tzad shin ischarish eno chelas. Meisvei nafal lifnei yavam. Cheresh ochelas uvezu yafe koach yavam mikoach ba'al. So here in the braisa. So Cohen and his wife got married, first stage, Erusin. Then Cheresh. Then he becomes, he loses his sanity. And then is she at that point able to eat Truma? So yes, she is allowed to. However, if he dies and the oven picks her up, so then the, I didn't say correctly. The Cohen marries her, stage number one, Erison. Then he loses his mind. Is she allowed to eat Truma? The answer is no. Then he dies and the oven picks her up. Is she allowed to eat Truma with the oven? The answer is yes. Even if the Yavam is a Cheresh. And in this regard, the Yavam's strength is greater, exceeds that of the original husband. That's the Braisa. Now, Bishlam Rav Mitaritz Kid Tarz Mikara. So for Rav, now remember, in our second version of the discussion, for Rav, the Braisa is problematic, but no, it's not. Because what Rav will do is what Shmuel did previously in the first version. And that is that he'll edit the Braisa. He'll redact the Braisa so that it reads basically to the position of, oh, the Bryce is talking about a case where they went through Erison, they also went through Nisuin, and then he lost his mind, etc., etc. Okay, so at least we can explain the Bryce according to Rav in version number two. Elo Shmuel Kasha, but in Shmuel, even in version number two, Shmuel's of the position that the Yavam cannot feed her Truma, even though she was previously eating Truma. So, but the Yavam, who is a Cheresh, cannot feed her Truma. This now becomes problematic for Shmuel. And there's no editing of the Braisa that's going to help Shmuel in this regard. Kasha. And the Gemara says, you're right. Yeah, okay. Enachinami. The Braisa is going to pose a difficulty for the second version of Shmuel. Okay. Icon that takes us to the end of our second sugya of this morning. A complex sugya regarding what happens when the Yavam has Bia Grua with his Yavama. So it affects a Kenyan. That is correct. But is it a full Kenyan or is it a limited Kenyan? Machlokes between Rav and Shmuel. And then where it gets really complicated is that is she coming off of Erison or is she coming off of Nisuin? When are we having this machlokes between Rav and Shmuel? And we had version number one, Lishna Kama. We had version number two, Lishna Basra. Okay, and admittedly, that's where it gets complicated. Tana Rabbanan. Okay, somewhat new topic. It's not really a new topic. Okay. Before we start the new topic, before we start the next section of the Gemara, something which I could have mentioned earlier, but it's not too late. I can mention it now. Okay, let's talk about a woman's ability to eat truma because she's married to a Cohen. Okay. Cohen obviously is entrusted, entitled, and has the responsibility of eating truma, all of the above. Okay? So the and that we all know together. Okay? And when a Cohen now marries a woman, even if she's not herself a Bas Cohen, but in other words, now that she's married to Cohen, she can eat truma. At what point min haTorah can she eat truma? And the answer is min haTorah, Kiddushin. Why? So Rashi over here points out, the Torah says, kinyan kaspo, ki yikne nefesh kinyan kaspo. When a Kohen acquires a nefesh, now the acquisition of a nefesh can be an Eved Kenani, could be Shivcha Kenanis, could be a wife. Obviously not creating equivalency, just simply saying that halachically it's a kinyan. And so therefore, when a Kohen is mekadesh a woman, so that's kinyan, and she can eat truma, right? So yes and no. Okay, not trying to be confusing, but I'm just giving you the halacha. Yes and no. She can eat truma min haTorah. The Chachamim said, we're going to wait. Her ability to eat truma will be put on hold until we get to the second stage of marriage. Why? So there are a couple of reasons, but the main reason is because if she's allowed to eat truma at this stage, remember, this stage of marriage, Erusin. So she is still living it with her family. They're not living together, husband and wife. They're married, but they're not living together, husband and wife. Okay. Now, if she were to be able to eat truma at that point in time, so what she would do is she would visit her husband. I know that sounds funny, but that's Erison. She will visit her husband. Husband say, okay, look, what's it called? I'm eating truma. Come, join me. We'll eat truma together. Oh, you can't finish it? Good. Here's a goodie bag. You'll take some home with you. Now, she'll go home with the truma that she was given to her husband, and she's going to feed it to her family. Her family are not Kohanim. The Chachamim were worried about that. So the Chachamim said that the woman will not be able to eat Truma until they're living together. Second stage of marriage, Nisuin. Okay, so those are the basics regarding a woman and her ability to eat Truma, a married woman. Now with that stated, let's go back to the Gemara. Let's see it together inside. Tana Rabbanan Kev, Bas Yisrael, Pikach, Hashin, Isas, Lekoin, Pikach, Velo, Ispik, Lekoin, Sashin, Ischaresh, Eino, Ocheles. Okay, so They got married, stage one, Erison, right? He was in a clear state of mind. She was in a clear state of mind. And parenthetically, by the way, has to be. Meaning a cheresh cannot marry a woman stage one of marriage. Why not? Because it's a kinyan. And if you're in, if you do not have a if you're not of a sane state of mind, you can't make kinyanim. Fine. And then after Erison, Rachmanus, he loses his mind. So now, even though they go to the second stage of marriage, so notwithstanding, she can't eat truma. So no la ben ochelas. If she has a child, she can eat truma. Mesa ben. Now let's say the child dies. Rabbi Nassan omer ochelas v'chachamim omrim ein ochelas. Rabbi Nassan says that she can eat, and the chachamim say she cannot eat. Okay. Now, what does the balance of the brisa mean? My time of the Rabbi Nassan. What is behind the opinion of Rabbi Nassan? That she had a son. Now, the son, by the way, is a Kohen. And the son dies, and she can go ahead and she can continue to eat truma. It's hard to understand. Really hard to understand. I'm a rabbi, so rabbi takes a crack at it. And rabbi says, hol shekvar achla. Well, rabbi says, look, let's go over the history. History was is that she had a valid kedushin. Unfortunately, her husband lost her mind before Nisuin. So on those grounds, she wouldn't be able to eat truma. But she had a son. She can eat through her son. Right? She can eat the truma through her son. Good. But then Rachmanis, her son, died. But in other words, once she started eating truma, she can continue eating truma. The Gemara says, what? Really, you want to employ that argument? How about this? How about a woman married a Kohen? She started eating truma. Kohen dies, or Kohen divorces her, and they have no children. Well, she started eating truma. Let her continue eating truma. That is absurd. That's just simply not true. So clearly that argument by itself does not have any legs. So, Ella kevin de mislei paka le kedusha semine achanami kevin de mislei paka kedusha samina. So the Gemara says, so in other words, there are certain things that entitled to eat truma, but those things, those entitlements can be taken away. So the argument of, well, she started eating truma, let her continue eating truma. It's just simply, it's a groundless argument. Okay, so the Gemara says, fine. Round two. Why is it that, according to Rabbi Nassan, if she started eating truma, she can continue eating truma? Elam Rav Yosef, because Rabbi Nassan is suah cheresh ma'achilim b'truma, velo gazrina nisuah cheresh atu kidushe cheresh. So the Gemara says Rabbi Nassan is employing a different argument. Notably, she's married to a Kohen, meaning the Kedushin was a successful Kedushin. Now that she's married to a Kohen, now what? The Rachmanisa, the husband became a Cheresh, but they did go into the second stage of marriage. For that second stage of marriage, they are now fully married. By the way, let's make this point. For the second stage of marriage, you don't need the kind of das that you need for the first stage of marriage. Okay? That second stage of marriage is not a Kinyan. Now, exactly how to describe it, that's not easy. I'm not sure if I have the right words to formulate it. But in other words, but in that they are now married stage number two, right? They live together now, and they're intimate with one another. So now she can eat truma. So now Rabbi Nassan is really resting his position on the fact that now they are fully married, and she can eat truma. So, and it's for that reason Rabbi Nassan allows her to eat truma. So Amalei Abaye Achinolala Ben Lamali. So now I'm curious. Good. It's a wonderful svara, but why did Rabbi Nassan talk about her having a son? That's throwing us off the scent. It has nothing to do with her having a son. So Mishum Rabbanan. So the Gemara says no. That her having a son is not for the sheet of Rabbi Nassan. That's for the sheet of the Chachamim. Meaning for the Chachamim who disagree. So her ability to eat truma will only be because he had a son. V'liflo Rabbi Nassan alayu bereisha. So the Gemara says, okay, so why don't we hear Rabbi Nassan screaming about that? Meaning Rabbi Nassan is arguing on this very point. Why aren't we hearing that? So the Gemara says, because it's something called manners. Shavik lula Rabbanan ad demesamim osayv ad depalig alayu. Because what Rabbi Nassan wanted to do is allow the Chacham to finish their thought, and then he's going to argue. So Rabbi Nassan Omer Ocheles. So the Gemara says, yeah, but you know what? Then the Braisa could have been formulated a lot better. The Braisa could have been clearer. The Braisa could have said and should have said, look, if the son dies, the Chachamim will say, she can't eat truma anymore. Because again, for the Chachamim, her only ability to eat Truma is because they have a son. And what Rabbi Nassim would say is, even if the son died, she's still allowed to eat Truma. Why? Because her ability to eat Truma is because she's married to a Kohen. Okay. Kasha. The Gemara says, okay, point very well taken. The Braisa could have been formulated better. V'chein ha-ba'al achas mikol ha-rayis amar Rav Amram ha-mil samar amar lan Rav Sheshes v'anurino le'inam imasnisan. So we heard something from Rav Sheshes, and the Mishnah comes to validate it. Okay, now, just we're going to finish to the Mishnah, and I'm going to go through it quickly, but just the what we're going to learn together is a really clear halacha. There's not going to be any ambiguity, and I'm going to put this on the front end. I'll say it on the back end as well. It's a real tragedy, meaning there's no way to sugarcoat it. There's no way to make this sound like it's, you know, this is going to be a pleasant situation. It's not going to be a pleasant situation. I'm saying it on the front end. So in other words, what we're about to learn together. So I understand the reaction is and should be, oh, that's tragic. And I'm validating it because it is tragic. But it's the halacha. So you have an Eishis Yisrael who is violated. So in other words, she was with another man, but coerced. She was raped. So she's still allowed to be with her husband because she's what's called an ones, an anusa. Okay. However, nevertheless, psula l'kuhuna. She can't be with a Kohen. Meaning her status with her husband does not change, but her status with a Kohen now will change. Meaning, in the event that, let's say, she becomes a widow, she can't marry a Kohen. In other words, what her status is going to be regarding a Kohen is going to be a woman who had a extramarital relation. Okay. Now, again, I understand I give everyone a moment to digest. That's unbelievably unfortunate. Now, Vitana Tuna. Huh? A Kohen can marry a widow. That 100%. But in other words, right, Kohen Gadol is prohibited from marrying a widow, but a regular Kohen can marry a widow. But over here, because she had this extramarital affair. Now, I'm calling an extramarital affair, right? That's harsh. In other words, she was ones. So Lagabe, her husband, who's Yisrael, yes. But Lagabe Kohen, no. Okay, it's harsh, and it's a halacha. V'tana Tuna, the Gemara quotes a Braisa, V'chein ha-ba'alachas mikol ha-rayis amos b'torah o'psulos. Let's take a look at our Mishnah together. Our Mishnah talks about acts of Bia that were both voluntary and involuntary. So my v'chein. And you look at the Mishnah and it says v'chein. What is that going on? So my lav lo shnam b'shogeg v'lo shnam b'mezev v'lo shnam b'onis v'lo shnam b'ratzon v'ketani pasla. It's going on every one of the descriptions of Bia that's described in the Mishnah. And it says that she's disqualified. So isn't that now what our Mishnah is teaching us? Meaning, the halach is clear. We're just trying to litigate whether or not our Mishnah is now a full validation of this point. To which the Gemara says, maybe not. Maybe not meaning, maybe our Mishnah is not making this particular point. Lo, my v'chein ha'ara, maybe it's talking about specifically going on partial penetration. The Gemara says, ha'ara d'mani le'medar ra'yas le'medar ra'yas yafina miyavama. Well, is our Mishnah talking about ha'ara? Just like Ha'ara works by Yibam, so too it works by Arias. Okay? After having gone through the last couple of days of the Daf, what do we know together? Just the opposite. Meaning, where's the source of Ha'ara? Arias. Adarabba Yavami Alfina Ma Arias, Deka Arab Arias Ksiv. Okay, so the Gemara says, no, it's just the opposite. So Ela Mai Vechena Shalokadarka, the Arias. So the Gemara says, maybe it's going on Shalokadarka. Right? Unnatural relations. The Gemara says, Adrabba, Ika Mishkeve Isha Barais Ksiv. Again, reverse. Meaning that when it comes to Bia Shaloka Darka, the source of Bia Shaloka Darka is Arayas. And then we're extending that to Yibam. So it's just the opposite. So, Elamai Vechena Shaloka Darka de Chayve Lavin. So maybe it's going on Shaloka Darka regarding Chayve Lavin, where there's the extension. Meaning, Shaloka Darka is primarily taught by Arayas, extended also to Lavin as well. Okay, so. Just simply put, the halach is correct, but just our Mishnah may not be making this particular point. If you have the wife of a Kohen who is nenas, again, it's tragic, but it's the halacha. So she is violated. Her husband cannot be with her anymore. Meaning, by the way, it doesn't dissolve the marriage. Meaning the marriage is still there, but he has to divorce her. In other words, and he cannot be with her. In fact, if he's with her, so loka la mishum zona. So in other words, she is legabe him. She is the status of a zona. So mishum zona im mishum tamalo. So the Gemara says now, truth of the matter is she's a zona. She's also a sota. Okay. Again, I'm understanding what I'm saying, and I recognize that it's going to sound harsh, but legabe a kohen, it's true. She's a zona. She's a sota. Because she was with another man. Okay. So, yeah, right? Again, there are two avenues of sota. Sota suffix, sota vadai. Okay, so, right, but, so, ema af mishum zona. So the Gemara says, okay, so it was fine. So, in other words, yes, yes and yes. Meaning, legabe, her husband, she's a zona, she's a sota. And so, as a result of that, if he's with her, he's violating being with a zona and being with a sota. So we turn to the beginning of Parshas Naso, and it says regarding the sota that if she was violated, so she's muteris. But it says vihi lo nispasa. Now you see the word he. What is that? It's always a miut, always. So the Gemara says v'yeshachacher shafa pish nispasa sura, which means that there's going to be a woman who was violated, and yet she'll be forbidden. Ve'ezu zu eshes kohen. And so it's referring to an Eishes Kohen. So now, we are learning this inferentially, which means it's a Lav Haba Mechlal Aseh. So the Gemara says, Amarava, Kol Hayu Bechlal Zona, Kishapart Lecha Akasov Gabi Eishes Yisrael, Vihilo Nispasa, Asura Nispasa Muteris, Mechlal Deishes Kohen, Kidikai Makaima. So the Gemara's explanation is that no, it is not an inferential Isser. It's not a Lav Haba Mechlal Aseh. What it's basically saying is that her status doesn't change. Meaning, for all other women, their status changes. Meaning, when a woman is violated for a non-Kohen, so now her status is going to change. She is not a Sota. She's considered a Nusa. As far as a Kohen is concerned, so her status doesn't change. Meaning, she's a woman who had a relations with another man, albeit it was against her will. Nevertheless, her status is going to be a Sota. Igadamre, in a slightly different version, where we're basically going to be making the same point. So we're starting it from the perspective of tuma, i.e. sota. So mishum tuma in mishum zona lo. So ama baones lo karina bezona. Now in the second version, we're only describing her as a sota, not as a zona. Meisav Rabbi Zera says v'hilo nispasa sura hanispasa muteris v'yeshacha cheres shafal pishin nispasa sura v'ezuzu eshes kohen v'lava ba mechala se'asei. But here's where the Gemara is the same as in round number one. It sounds like it's not an iser sota. It sounds like it's an inferential iser. Lava ba mechala se. So Amar Rav Akol Ayu bechala chereshu v'tama kishapar lachakas of gabe eshes yisrael v'hilo nispasa sura hanispasa muteris mechala deshes kohen k'dekai makaima. And again, the Gemara makes the same point. Which is no, that and for all other women who are violated, their status changes. For an Eishes Kohen who was violated, her status does not change, i.e., she was with another man. And we're going to regard her as if she was with another man. She wasn't an active participant in the act. Yes, understood. But Legabe Kohen, she's considered a Sota. Okay, so the Gemara is extraordinarily clear. When it comes to an Eishes Yisrael, so whose wife was Nansa, so she's Mutar to her husband. When it comes to an Eishes Kohen, whose wife is an Anusa, she is Asura to her husband. That's very clear. The only point of dispute in the Gemara is she a Sota and is she a Zona, or is she just a Sota and not a Zona? That's the only point of dispute. Why did that come up over here on the second Amud of today's Daf? Because the Gemara for a moment thought that our Mishnah is making exactly that point. And what the Gemara acknowledged is, maybe not. Maybe the Mishnah is making a different point, not to contradict this point, but just simply that's not the main point of our Mishnah.